Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
In truth, our Redeemer, that blessed name can bear, of Jesus, the Savior, a name bright and fair. So great was His love that He shed on the tree His own precious lifeblood to set His own free. Know ye, our Savior King, who left our Father's mansions redemption to bring. Reading from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, to the church at Philadelphia. Considering again that letter, that church that was blessed. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we'll have understanding of them. Pray that we'll have the same blessing as what they did, and especially that, the last part of the ninth verse, to know that I have loved thee. That's what we need. And in that way, we have what we need from God in Christ and because of Christ. Let's pray that God will make it known to us as he did to them. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ thy Son, knowing that there is no other way into thy presence of love than through him. We pray, Father, that we may have what the Lord Jesus has said, that no man cometh to thee except by him, and also that we do not come to him except thou dost draw us. And we pray that thou wilt thyself draw us to Christ today, making us to know the need of him. If we are in the church at the Laodiceans, that we may hear thy voice, Lord Jesus, saying, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. If we are still outside of the church, and any of those that are, we pray, Father, that they might be made by thy word and spirit, weary and heavy laden, so they will then hear thy voice, Lord Jesus, saying, Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you a rest. We pray for both the conviction of the Spirit, and the teaching, and the revealing of Christ, and then that blessed witness of the Spirit, that we are thy children through and because of Christ, all by faith in thee and in him. We pray, Father, that we might have that anew, and the preaching of it, the hearing of it, the believing it, the experiencing it, that the church might be revived in it, and the world might be awakened and saved by it, that thou wilt revive the church, and then make it one in the truth, humbling it together at thy feet, and then lifting it up together in truth and in power, that it may be one in such a way as thou didst pray for, Lord Jesus, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ, that thou wilt take away all the foolishness, the pride, the divisions, all the traditions that hinder us from believing and receiving thy whole word and counsel. We pray, Father, that we may know the very simplicity of that word and of the gospel. Simple enough that thou hast said, except we be converted and become as little children, we cannot enter thy kingdom. We pray, Father, that we may know that that church at Philadelphia must have experienced that, to be the church as thou dost speak to it in that way, Lord Jesus, and describe it in that way, and then even declaring that thou would make it known to others that thou dost love them, and they will come and have to worship before thee and before them, even at their feet. We know not how, we may not understand it all, but Father, we can believe that what thou hast said would be done will be done, that thou dost sit in the heavens with Christ in thy right hand, declaring that thou wilt make his enemies to be his footstool, and we know it will be done. Some have been made that footstool, as Paul, and some of ourselves, and we pray that we might know it in fullness, and we might see it, the church, added to, even daily, such as should be saved. We pray it, Father, for those in the church that are still dead in sin, lukewarm, that are not striving to enter in. We pray it for the enemies that hate and persecute the church, that they may hear the voice, thy voice, even as Paul heard it, and say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That they may be turned from persecution to believing and preaching thy word among themselves and to the rest of the world, that that might take place, that there might come then peace on earth, goodwill toward men through the gospel. We pray, Father, for the other needs that there are. We give thanks for the blessings in nature that we have in such abundance, far above others. We pray for those who do not have these blessings, those that have experienced earthquake, those that have flood, fire, wind, those that are persecuted in the terribleness of war. Father, all these calamities in so many parts of the world. And again, we give thanks for the blessing that we have in peace and the sunshine and the rain given as a blessing when others are under the cursing and judgment of nature. We pray, Father, for the other needs that there are in the home, in the schools, in the workplace, those in sickness and injury, that they might have faith to look to Thee for healing and might have grace to bear under it if it is not given, and especially grace to die, to be prepared for that hour. We pray, Father, for the troubled homes, the broken homes, that they might be brought to repentance and brought to healing, the children in those homes, that they might be taught of Thee. We pray for the homeless, the hungry, the suffering, the sorrowing, the fearing, all those, Father, different calamities that are there. We pray that we might all be able to cast our care on Thee, knowing that Thou dost care for us through Christ. Amen. As we look again at this letter to the church at Philadelphia, we know that what did take place generally had to be true of them to be the church that they are. There's many that think of Christ as subservient to man, that He needs our help, and we need His help. It is true that He calls us to do things, but it is also true, as He said, without Me you can do nothing. And it is true when things are done, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That church had that blessing, as Paul did, and as we can read throughout Scripture. Last week we considered somewhat the last part of that ninth verse, and to know that I have loved thee. We saw from Jeremiah's prophecy that God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, even though soon Judah at that particular time would be, many would be killed in different ways, the famine, the pestilence, the noisome beast, the sword, others would be carried away captive, the temple would be burned down, the walls would be broken, the land would lie idle for 70 years, and yet God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. His love would be made known from time to time in bringing them back, as we can read in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah. We can read also God's word in Ezekiel said, as a shepherd gathers his sheep, so will I gather my people from the different places and bring them back. And He's doing it today. Israel is back, at least a number of them, in their land. They have suffered terrible sufferings, but God has loved them. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And we need to see that. And when we think of that love, that choosing, it is not just true for Israel. Here, evidently, this was a Gentile church. There may have been Jews in with it, as there were in the different Gentile churches in Rome, Corinth, other places, and Paul, writing to them, spoke to both. But we see that that is a truth that is true for all of God's children individually, and it is true for all of the church, whether it is Jew or Gentile. There are many that think it's only true for the Jews, that God chose a nation, and He did. He did choose that one nation apart from other nations and has dealt with it in a special way in the past and is in the present and will in the future. Those promises are there. Read them in Romans chapter 11, when he speaks of their fullness. But in the meantime, all of God's children have to have what this church at Philadelphia had. And it's not enough for us just to know that objectively, that it was true for them those 1900 and some years ago. It is true as an example, but we need to ask ourselves, both, do I have that love from God? And we also need to ask, is that the reason why I'm God's child? We quoted last week from John when he said, 1 John chapter 4, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The beginning of our relationship in a right way with God does not begin with our love. He calls us while we are yet sinners. Not only did Christ die for us while we were yet sinners and enemies, but he calls us from being enemies to repentance, and makes that word effectual, like he did in Thessalonica, when Paul said, "We came not in word only, but in power, with the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance." He said, knowing your election. Your election. Yes, that's in the Bible. That's spoken of that Gentile church at Thessalonica. The only reason I became a Christian and received Christ was because God elected me to do so. I went wrong ways first. I thought I did it by myself. I thought I had a free will. I thought I did it. I thought it, even foolishly, that proved that lie to be true. And it is a lie. Our will is bound by Satan. We are dead in sin. We are at enmity against God. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And as I said last week, both the law and the gospel. Christ said they hated me without a cause. He says, all that do evil hate the light. That includes you and me and everyone else. It included this church here at Philadelphia. And when the Lord Jesus said, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. That's going to take some doing to make people that are the synagogue of Satan, that are enemies to the gospel, probably enemies to this church, to do that. How? I don't know. How it was done? I don't know. But I know it was done by him who said at the beginning of this letter, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ that you believe in? Or do you think you have to open? Some even say of the letter to the church of Laodicea, that the latch of the door is on the inside. Christ can't open it. In that particular case, in the first place, he's speaking to the church and not to the world. He is saying to the Laodicean church, the proud church. You say you are rich and need of nothing. You don't know that you're poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. And then he says, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. He is doing that inside the church. In spite of the door being closed, his word reaches in. And he says to them, if any man open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. There are times when God deals with us in our guilt, our responsibility, but we never fulfill it without the Spirit of God. Never. God with his Spirit convicts. God with his Spirit leads into all truth. God with his Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. All of that is done, as again going back to what I quoted, when Paul said of the church at Thessalonica, we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Spirit. And in that way, he knew that they had been chosen of God. And as we can read of that, the church at Ephesus, chosen before the foundation of the world. It's a truth that was denied before the Great Awakening, in the time of the 1700s, when Jonathan Edwards preached so wonderfully and was blessed so mightily, George Whitefield and others as well, Tenants, Friedlandhuysen, different ones that were blessed in their preaching, blessed in their knowledge of their sin, first of all of themselves and then of others, and made the word known, and God made it effectual. And we had what was called the Great Awakening. But part of what Jonathan Edwards preached against was the ways of the works of man. They thought they were saved by their works. And one man even said, I was more in love with my works than with Christ. It was an error of the church, and people were accepted in the church because if they intellectually said they believed the doctrine, which they didn't even, because Edwards had to preach against their false doctrine, but they foolishly thought they did. And they foolishly thought they were doing the will of God. And that's why there was, as Jonathan Edwards wrote, surprising conversions. People that thought they were all right were awakened and made to cry out, made to realize, as Edwards preached one sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That's what is needed when the church is like the Laodiceans. But here, this church at Philadelphia was one that did not need to be called to repentance, did not need to be reproved, was told that they had kept his word in verse 8, and then told, as we just read, that he would make those who say they are Jews but do lie, gave a false confession, like many of the Jews did in the time of Christ and other times as well, thought they were children of God, children of Abraham. John the Baptist says, don't say it, it's not true. God can make of these stones children unto Abraham. And he did call many from the outside, the east and the west, the north and the south. And as Christ said, those of the kingdom would be cast out. Those would come to know the true church. The true church that is, for one reason, hated because of God choosing. The Lord Jesus said that to his disciples just before his death, recorded in John chapter 15. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I can remember my dislike of that doctrine. God choosing, God electing, God predestinated. All those words are used in the Bible. They're all described what God does. Some want to rush them. Some want to explain them away. As one person told me once, pretty hard to get around them. When they are in Scripture, they're there for God's glory. And it is to the glory of His grace. As He said to the church at Ephesus, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Reading that to one person once, he says, made us? Yes, He had to make us do it. Do you believe it? Psalm 14 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. God repeats the same words in Psalm 53. And God repeats the same words through the pen of Paul in Romans chapter 3. There is none that seeketh God, not till He makes us. Paul didn't seek the Lord until He made him to do so. Some people say, oh, Paul could have said no. Not when the Lord Jesus is the one who opens and no man shuts, and He shuts and no man opens. Woe unto you or I if He shuts the door to us. We'll never have blessing. Never. He can take the Spirit away. He warned the church at Ephesus, the first church he wrote to, I'll remove the candlestick. Then there will be darkness. And we are much in darkness in our nation when the church and the world together deny God as Creator, deny Him as lawgiver. When He says so plainly, thou shalt not kill, and we kill every day the innocent babies. Yes, it needs to be repeated till we wake up and see the handwriting on the wall where weighed in the balances and found wanting. God's going to visit that blood on us if we don't repent. And maybe even if we do repent, there may be a waylaying like there was in the time of Judah, in the time of Josiah. But God still said He could not pardon the sin of Judah because of that innocent blood. How many of you people will vote for people that want to murder, want laws to kill the babies, want laws to allow mothers to be murderers and not guilty? Terrible. Yes, we deny God's word again and again in the church, in the nation, in the home, in the world. We are not like this church at Philadelphia. And we need God to love us and to do as He said to the other church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. These had evidently been loved. And He says, I will make them that to come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. It's a truth that we must acknowledge. That's why I stand here today. I wouldn't be doing this, wouldn't be believing, if God had not loved me and called me and overcame my wickedness my enmity, my unbelief, my foolishness, my pride. Yes, we're saved because Christ died for our sin, but we would never believe it if it were not for God's grace by the power of His Spirit. Listen to what one pastor from the 1800s wrote. Hence it arises that the doctrine of election, or which is the same thing of God's sovereignty, in the bestowment of His grace, often becomes the point at which a sinner's submission to God is tested. When this doctrine is cordially received, the sinner's rebellion against God ceases. When he yields to the sovereignty of God in bestowing eternal life at His pleasure, he admits the sovereignty in everything else, how much soever he may permit the monarch of the universe to do what he pleases in smaller matters. If he refuses to yield to his sovereignty in the matter of the highest importance, his submission to God is partial, and the spirit of rebellion has not departed. Have you recognized your spirit of rebellion? This church at Philadelphia must have had, or they would not be the church that they are. To know that I have loved thee. And when God loves, He does what is needed to humble us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to give us instruction in righteousness through Christ alone, all by His grace.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.